Jam! Hello again and welcome to this very special episode of Monday Night Magic. Ooh. I am haunted by that ghost that you just heard. That is not why this episode is special. That's why my co-hosts are special.
Ghost Dad!
So I'm Chewy.
Leonard Part 6.
There you go.
Go ahead.
And I'm... Worst movie ever? Right up there.
It's definitely on the short list.
I'm joined by Squee and Clues.
Hey!
We are here.
We are.
They answered in Clues and Squee order for anyone that's new.
Yes.
That one was Clues.
Yes.
He's currently wearing a bow tie and no pants.
Maybe.
And then Squee is the other one.
I am wearing a pants and no bow tie.
Exactly. A pants. I like that. But anyway, so this is episode 555 of Monday Night Magic, recorded here at the beginning of April.
Fabulous.
And because it is episode 555, this is a call-in special. So during this show, you can call in, get it, 555. See, it's funny. The number is in the show notes, so call in, talk to us live, let us know what we're screwing up, what you think about what we're talking about, and it'll be awesome. Right, guys?
Yes.
Yeah. If we ramble too long about anything, just let us know.
Exactly. Yeah, just cut us off. It'll be cool.
It'll be fine.
We love feedback.
We do.
Do we?
We like positive feedback, and we like negative feedback that is constructive.
Yes. Constructive feedback.
Oh, so, man, you guys suck. That's not
help. No. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of constructive interference. I'm sorry.
Ooh, that is good. I do like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like constructive feedback in general. That's how you make constructive devastator.
Construction paper.
I was just about to say that. Damn it.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to get calls that we're rambling too long about.
Yeah, see, okay. That's why you need to call in.
That's right.
Testing you.
So, let's begin with the event, I guess. There was a Grand Prix in San Antonio.
Excellent.
Yay, it was Team Unified Modern. And there
that
were,
is a thing.
It is. There were 500.
Been proven to exist.
Five in this one place. Yeah, there were 557 teams, and that comes to 1,671 players.
That is not a small number.
Not really. But Team Unified Modern is
it's
yeah,
a special place.
It certainly is.
And we would go through the rules of Team Unified Modern, but
It's already over.
It literally only exists in these events. It's somewhat confusing to me because
you're playing Modern on a team. You can't use each other's cards.
I know they've changed it at some point in the recent past, right?
Did they?
I thought so, because when we had Schofield on last, he was explaining these things to us.
I do know that just before the event, there was, I believe, an official ruling about Relentless Rats.
I hate and when that happens.
And that the answer was, yeah, if you really want to do that, that is totally okay.
Sick.
Yeah, okay. For those who don't know, Relentless Rats is one of those cards that it violates the 4-of rule, and it says you can have any number of Relentless Rats in your deck. And so, even though it's a unified event, I believe the official ruling was, if you want to have a team that is nothing but Relentless Rats in all of your decks, go for it.
Sick. So yeah, the Team Unified Modern event that just happened in San Antonio, it was at the end of March, beginning of April. The next Grand Prix in this format is in Madrid in December.
Yeah, so you got time to work to get all those Relentless Rats.
Yeah, if you're hyped up about this and nothing at all changes in Modern between now and then, you're set.
Wow, that's really weird. So you know how they're having tournaments with the same format every on the same weekend?
Yes.
Oklahoma City is listed as Modern, and Madrid is listed as Team Unified Modern on the same weekend. That's
maybe that's their caveat.
Curious.
Could be.
I like how Vegas is going to be doing three different formats because it's weird.
Yeah, well, that's Vegas, and what happens in Vegas, et cetera, et cetera. You know the joke.
It's very weird, yeah.
And very strange.
Anyway, so moving on.
Yeah, this is a tournament that happened.
I accidentally closed. Oh, no, I didn't. Okay, so who won? Hang on. Why do we not have full names? Okay, here we go. Gregory
Orange. If you just read down the list.
Gregory Orange, Adam Jansen, and Andre Prost. One.
Yep.
There you go. Playing White Blue Control, Jund, and Decepticons. That's Affinity for those that are new. In second place, we had Owen Turtenwald's Grixis Control, William Jensen's Eldrazi Tron, and Reed Duke's Abzan Death Shadow. So that's second place. Hell of a team. Hell of a team. Didn't win, though. Damn shame. Third place was Gerald? Wow. Gerard Fabiano's Madcap Moon deck, Ellie Cassis's Bant Nightfall, and Benjamin Lundquist's Death Shadow deck. All there in third place. And then in fourth place was David Ochoa playing Jund Death Shadow, Matt Severa playing Bant Nightfall, and Andrew Beckstrom playing Affinity Decepticons.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, because it's unified and the cards countered in that include the mana bases, it's not uncommon to find decks like Decepticons taking one of the slots because it frees up a lot of the lands for the other decks.
Wow, his name is listed as Gerald Fabiano everywhere. Maybe this is Gerard Fabiano's twin brother or something.
It's Bernstein Bears thing, don't worry about it.
Oh, has his name just always been Gerald? And I swear I thought it was Gerard.
It was the other one, but you'll never find evidence of it again.
Oh, now I need to Google.
The internet is gaslighting you.
Fabiano. Wow, when I Google Gerald Fabiano, I get Gerard Fabiano's Wikipedia page.
The internet is not very good at gaslighting.
Wow. Hey, could I draw your guys' attention to something? I just want to see if you get the same impression of it that I did. Could you go to the top four profiles page for me?
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so I want you to see what they've done here. So they've taken a picture of the teams in front of the GP banner, which includes a very cross-looking Gideon photobombing people there in
as
the back.
His way.
Oh.
And then
I think I see what you're talking about.
And then after the group picture, they took individual pictures of the group members pretty much in the same spot. And, so far pictures are looking pretty good. Photobombing is kind of funny. It's mildly amusing. And then we get down to the team of, Reed Duke, Huey Jensen, and Owen Turtenwald. And, I want you to notice that, Huey Jensen was having none of this photobombing crap because he's tall and was just standing right in the way. And so he blocks him out pretty well in the group shot. But if you scroll down to the shot of just Huey Jensen.
Yeah.
He's got his head tilted just right that it really looks like he's got long flowing locks in the back.
No, it's like that in the group shot too.
Yeah, I think it's better though in the individual one.
I mean, it totally is. But I think if you've never watched HDTV with HDR on, you can see the special effects as a separate layer from the normal stuff. So what we have here is he's actually got CG hair. It's amazing.
Oh,
so lifelike.
That's like 90 CG hair too. That's the best.
Yeah, it's like he actually just channels Kevin Sorbo. Amazing. Majestic romance novel locks.
All right.
All right. Sorry, I just wanted to make sure I was seeing that too. So, okay, great. Thank you.
This is the true power of Team Unified Modern.
I am really surprised no one has called in to
shut us up.
To shut us up or to compliment Clues on how hilarious that was.
Yeah, it was a good one.
It was pretty good.
I mean, it's crickets right now, but they'll get it eventually.
Yeah, look, if you guys are also coming over these GP notes from the mothership, if you spot something that we missed, call in, let us know.
Please.
It's way faster than making us wait for Twitter and then everyone tells us at once.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, frankly, by the time you would tweet about it, somebody's already called in, so just don't bother.
Yeah, and now to be fair, if you're trying to call in right now, remember the number is down in the show notes. If you're trying to call in right now and you're not getting through, just keep trying. I'm sure it's the line is very busy.
Yeah, we tested it before the show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
I mean, admittedly, we couldn't test it internationally, so if they're having trouble, then we're sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Good point.
You need the one first.
All right, so anything else we want to say about San Antonio?
Well, Chris Pakula did almost make the top eight again.
Oh, that is true.
He is on a tear.
It's possible he's good at magic.
That's what I'm told.
Maybe.
All right, then. So let's get to the actual meat of the episode because it's Team Unified Modern and whatever, don't care.
Yep.
We've got a lot of Amonkhet news. By the way, if there's anything else that you wanted us to cover on GP San Antonio, of course, Cullen, let us know.
We'll go back if we need to.
Yep.
We will.
We have lots of Amonkhet news.
Yeah.
The big thing being, where are the damn things? I apparently don't have it open. Yeah, I must have closed it accidentally.
Okay.
But yeah, the big thing being the, what are they called? The invocations.
Yes.
Now, last week at the end of the show, Clues was like, oh, they're called invocations. And we were like, got it. They must be spells of some sort because we had, what was the deal? All lands?
There were artifacts for the inventors and lands for the,
expeditions.
Yeah. Expeditions, yeah.
Yeah, so we had all lands and then all artifacts. We're like, oh, okay, cool. This one will be all spells. We called it. Look at that. Maybe some enchantments, maybe not, whatever. And we were not correct.
Not at all. No.
Not even a little. I mean, they're mostly, but only mostly.
You got pretty much everything but lands represented here.
Yeah. So, of course, obviously, the big thing is the design on these. Because when they came out, the internet exploded. And everyone basically just whined and complained about how much they sucked, which I didn't understand because I legitimately think these are amazing.
Okay, I want to take a little bit of umbrage at everyone just complained. Okay, not everyone, and I limited my comments. Morrow asked for direct feedback. I gave him direct feedback, and I just left it at that. But I do have some strong feelings about these card designs. So let's start with the good. Okay.
There's
some awesome pieces here.
It's awesome.
I like, for the most part, the cards that they've chosen here. Okay. There's a nice mixture of really cool stuff that we've got going on.
Can I, confess something?
Yeah.
I've not looked at all of these yet to see what they are.
Well, that just occurred to me. There are 26 of them to look at right now.
There are, in fact, 26 of them, and that is not a small number. So, would you like to? Should we just read them off real quick? What do you want to do here?
Actually, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's leave the actual new one that just came out like today.
Yeah, there are 25 in the masterpieces thing here. The first one is Aggravated Assault. Which is an enchantment. That's what is that? Or it's a relentless assault that you can.
Yeah, it's repeatable. Untap all your guys and attack again.
Yeah, so that's cool.
And by repeatable, I mean you can only activate it once, but you can use it each turn.
Right. There's attrition, sack a creature to destroy a non-black creature. Okay, that's a fun one from back in the day. I've got a bunch of those. Austere Command. Hey, look, one of the commands, the white one. Nice.
The interesting choice one.
Aven Mind Sensor. Hey, look, that's not a spell.
No, it's a creature.
Yeah, it's a creature. And it's also in the set, which is weird. Or at least I thought it was weird. Was Ornithopter was a masterpiece. It was an invention. Yes. Was it in the set, too?
No.
I don't think
Ornithopter was actually in the set. Now, I'm going to confirm because I could be wrong. Yeah, you keep going.
I'm headed to get... Oh, okay. You got it?
Yeah, you just keep going.
Oh, okay.
Well, I verify that.
We've got Chain Lightning. Sick! Sorry, that is
an excellent choice for a card.
It is.
It was an Aether Revolt. So it wasn't in Kaladesh, which is what I was thinking of, but it was an Aether Revolt.
Okay, so it was So it was in the set and a masterpiece. All right.
Yeah.
See, that one, that threw me. I didn't even know it was in the set. But anyway, moving on. Chain Lightning is ridiculous. Consecrated Sphinx. Nice.
So many cards.
Containment Priest, so Chris Lansdale is happy now. He can get a shiny Containment Priest for Death and Taxes.
This is the first time Containment Priest has been in a non-promo product, isn't it?
To my knowledge, it's the first time it's been... It's the list in the show notes, Clues, the one that says Masterpieces.
Really? Because I clicked on that, and that didn't help.
Okay.
I don't know what to tell you, dude.
This one right here?
In the show notes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, great, because that's... Sure,
maybe.
Okay.
Your browser doesn't support the carousel.
No, just keep going. Just keep going.
Okay, fair enough. But anyway, yeah, this, to my knowledge, this is the first time Containment Priest has been printed, except for the one time it was printed, right?
I believe so.
Because it was just in a commander box, I think.
Right.
I think so, yeah. and it was killing him because he has an entire foiled out Death and Taxes except for Containment Priest.
Yeah.
So, Anyway, Counterbalance.
That is an awful card that should not be reprinted ever.
The art's really cool, though.
The art is
really cool. Yeah, the art is pretty
Although,
cool.
Although, to be fair, we could say that about all of these.
Yeah, I mean, they're all cool. I just like that one because it's a literal counterbalance.
Yeah.
It's just funny.
Counterspell, the original. Ooh.
Yeah. Max. Mistake from the past, sure.
Yeah, speaking of mistakes from... Well, wait, no, there's one in between those. Cryptic Command.
Yeah, so hey, Cryptic Command, I do like that this one has the new formatting for modal spells, where it's bullet points.
Yeah.
Big fan of that.
They printed a Cryptic Command with the new formatting before, right?
Yeah, I think it might have cropped up in one of the Modern Masters, maybe?
From the Vault or a Modern Master, something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of mistakes from the past, Dark Ritual.
Ooh, that nothing bad ever happened with that.
No, never.
Yeah, and it was
that
Modern
your hand
Masters.
Size will remember.
Modern Masters 2015 had the Cryptic Command with the new formatting.
Right.
Cool.
We've got Daze, that Legacy staple.
Don't daze me, bro.
Too late.
Stop playing Legacy. Oh,
man.
The only way to not get dazed. Diabolic Intent. I don't know this card. As additional cost to cast it, sacrifice a creature, and then tutor. I need to see what this looks like. I have no memory of this card. Diabolic Intent. Oh, okay, yep. Yeah, it's from Planeshift. I see. It's got, what's his name? Krovax on it. Yeah. Now that I see the original art, I remember it. Divert, depending on where you're from, I guess. Where are you from, Clues?
Indiana.
There you go. So how do you say it?
Divert.
Okay.
I don't actually know how that would be pronounced. I'm not a good representative of Indiana linguistics. I'm sorry.
We've got Entomb, because that's a fair card. We've got Force
I approve.
Of Will.
I do not approve. Actually, no, that's not quite true. Okay. I don't like the card Force of Will myself, but I understand its role in, the broader context of, eternal formats. I understand that it needs to be there to contain, combo. And it's nice that there are new copies of it now in existence to, get more in circulation and, maybe act as a safety valve on price, but, yeah, I've already gone on record with my criticisms of the masterpieces to fulfill either of those functions. But anyway, continue.
Fair enough. We've got Loyal Retainers. Which I don't recognize this card either. Loyal.
I do. Is that a... Oh God, what was the set?
It was in Commander's Arsenal, Masters Edition 3, and Portal 3 Kingdoms originally.
There. Yeah, Portal 3 Kingdoms. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, okay. Maelstrom Pulse, always a classic.
Yeah, another classic.
The lone representative of green in these cards.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mind Twist. Which
Don't
is
mind twist me, bro.
Completely ridiculous. Pact of Negation.
Yeah.
Spell Pierce. Another one of those blue ones. Stifle. More blue. Vindicate.
And I gotta say, Stifle is an underplayed card in the Eternal formats. I don't enjoy it, but it's underplayed. Go ahead.
Yes. Vindicate.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Worship, which is really flavorful in this particular set. And yeah. Wrath of God, which is also flavorful.
Very much so. Very much so. So actually, taken as a whole.
I think most of these are flavorful if you think about it for a moment. So yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Taken as a whole, I like their choices of the cards that we've seen in the invocations. Not all of them are, direct spells, but a lot of them are. As always, there's probably a little bit of over representation of blue, but that's just always my feeling whenever I see these counter spells flying around.
The fact that the only green card is a gold card makes me a little uncomfortable. But
I think in this case you might be right about the overrepresentation of blue, but that
I think
something...
they just picked cards that people in Legacy would want, and therefore blue.
And Consecrated Sphinx.
Yes.
Right, yeah. And Consecrated Sphinx.
Because it's awesome, but it's not like it's played in anything. Commander.
Yeah.
So we'll start there that, the choice of cards I think is overall really cool.
Yeah. That selection is pretty sick.
You'll be pretty happy whichever one of these you open.
Yeah. So far I don't see any that you'd go womp womp if you opened it. So that's cool.
Diabolic Intent maybe. You'd be like, oh, okay.
I very much like that they are, pushing the boundaries of card design. So if you haven't seen these yet, dear listener, you do owe it to yourself to go and at least look at them. Try and maintain an open mind when you look at them, because your first reaction, if you're the average Magic player, is, dear God, why? Change is bad. What are you doing? Dear God, why?
Before we move on, I would like to retract that Diabolic Intent. Maybe it's at like $15.
Yeah, well, it's a cool card. So I like the idea that they are pushing the boundaries of what they can do. I feel like, in my opinion, that they have pushed the boundaries too far in this case. My immediate reaction when I saw them was these don't look like Magic cards.
And that is a thing that I kept hearing repeated over and over and over on the various social media sites is these don't look like Magic cards. And my response to that every single time was, isn't that the point?
Well, yes and no. If you look at the previous two masterpieces, and this is where I dropped a couple of links in the show notes, I'd like for you gentlemen to open up tabs that have the Kaladesh Inventions and the Zendikar Expeditions here.
Right.
And if you look at the Inventions and the Expeditions, they both look like, well, first of all, they look kind of like, I want to say augmented regular Magic cards. They look like enhanced Magic cards. They still look like a Magic card. They still maintain Magic card identity, but they look a little jazzified. They're amped up. And the other thing that I will point out about both of them, and if we start with the Expeditions, this is the thing that I couldn't quite put my finger on until I really looked at them side by side. So we'll start with the Expeditions. They almost take on a full art feel to the boxes. So because they're all lands, they felt comfortable moving the type line rather than in the middle of the card, putting it at the bottom of the card. And the text box where they describe, you know, like Sunken Hollow enters the battlefield tapped unless you control two or more basic lands, that sort of thing. When they put the rules text in there, they've done it in a semi-transparent layer. So you essentially have this extended art that you can focus on with the card. If you then move to the masterpieces of the Inventions, those had a really, I'm going to call it a striking border that it had on it. I did not care for the border when I first saw it, but the longer I looked at the Inventions, the more I liked the border. Here they've moved that type line back to the middle because we don't just have lands. We have not just artifacts, but artifact creatures, and we're going to need to put a power and toughness someplace. So they moved it back to the middle, but they kept that kind of semi-translucent text box. So the semi-transparent text box. So again, you've got this feeling of a large piece of art that you can focus on. It wasn't quite as clear as it was on the Expeditions, but it was still there. Then we move to the Invocations, and here, because they were trying to, for lack of a better term, channel this sort of Egyptian hieroglyphic feel to them, the art box feels terribly constrained. It feels tiny. Whether it really is or not, I can't quite say because I didn't like get out calipers, even though now that I think about it, I've got a pair right there because of course I do.
Of course you do.
I have two pairs right there, a analog and a digital.
Nice.
Cause you never know when the digital might run out of batteries. You need a backup. So the art box looks too, I'm going to describe it as de-emphasized. And that bothers me. It forces my eye to the rest of the card, which again, I don't personally care for. So that's kind of my starting point of what I don't like about them design wise. There's also, in my opinion, a complaint about not really playability, but visibility, if that makes sense. Most Magic cards, if you just glance at them, you can very quickly glean some pieces of information. Those pieces of information being name, mana cost, and color identity. With these, they've tried to do that in certain ways. So the names, look, I understand they were going for a stylized text. I see what they did there. It's interesting. but this particular implementation of it, I'm not going to describe it as unreadable. I'm going to describe it as difficult to read. Once you understand what they're doing, it becomes easier.
You literally cannot describe them as unreadable because I just read all of them for the first time without having to go, what does that say? Not once.
But are you going to argue to me?
I have no idea what any of these cards are.
Are you going to argue to me that these are not more difficult to read than a regular font?
Well, no, any font that's slightly stylized at all is more difficult to read than a regular quote unquote font. So
Well, that's kind of the argument that I'm making here, is that one of the most important pieces of information that you need is what is the name of that card that you have just played.
So to put a point sort of in the middle of those, I think that looking at these, it's harder to read. I think I'm going to ask someone what the card is whenever I see one of these because the art's new. The text is going to be difficult to read upside down when it's on the other side of the battlefield. But considering we're playing a game where our opponents might have Korean cards or Russian cards or any type of other language, I've accepted over the last week of looking at them that, yeah, it might be harder to read, but that's never prevented people from playing Magic cards before. Thing I don't like about it, though, is that because they're going for this cool stylized thing, there's a bunch of random symbols to the sides of all the text so that all the boxes are always full. And that's just a little distracting to me. I know that in print, the names are apparently a little more bold from the pictures that I've seen, which makes it easier to find the part you're looking for. And I just don't think that's coming across well in these screenshots. So I think that'll be a little more workable in practice. In terms of the color identity comment that you made, one thing that is noteworthy is that the mana symbols in the upper corner are very muted in terms of their color.
Do they?
And they're relying on
symbols.
I think they're not colored.
Maybe.
I thought I saw red, but I think it's just the style of it. But what I will note is that along the left and right sides, you see stripes of color. So I'm not as worried about that from a color identity standpoint, but I will acknowledge that if you're already having trouble seeing the colors in them, like you've got some form of color blindness or other, you know, disability there, this is not anything new to you. This is how they're printed with these symbols to start with because you can't just rely on color. So they factored that in a bit. The thing that's actually bugging me now that, you know, I've had time to look at it, and this is just me being a little picky because of the fact that I work with type and the like, I don't like the centered text.
Really?
Because I was neutral on it until I saw the way that the commands are listed, and seeing bullet points on centered text drives me crazy because it's the kind of crap that I have to fix day in and day out when other people work on files and I have to then make them legible.
I
acknowledge that that's just like the kind of person who complains about turning, but it is something that bugs me personally.
So on the subject of color, I know we kind of went past it. They have attempted to create a color identity along the sides. I don't know if we mentioned that.
Bill just mentioned that. Yeah.
Oh, he did. I'm sorry. I was distracted because my wife texted me something. My apologies. My complaint there is I like what they've done there, that they've tried to give you that. But if you go to a multicolored card, it's just gold.
Which is what color gold cards are.
Right. But you would still have the color of the mana symbols in the upper corner to figure that out.
You still have the mana symbols in the upper corner. They're just not colored. And if you play Magic,
I am not arguing that it's impossible. I'm arguing that it's more difficult. They've taken the most important. Look, Chewy, you're trying to imply that I've said that they're impossible to read or impossible to find the color. And that's not what I'm arguing. What I'm arguing is that they're more difficult. And these are the most important pieces of design that you need, the most important pieces of information to get across. And they've made it harder in this design. That's what bothers me.
Okay, my response to all of these things where, okay, well, if it's upside down and on the other 3 feet away on the other side of the table, you're not going to know what the card is. Yes, you are. Because if someone plays Maelstrom Pulse, you know what Maelstrom Pulse does. If you're playing Modern, if you're running into Maelstrom Pulse, you're probably playing Modern, then you know what Maelstrom Pulse does, and it doesn't matter what the card looks like. If someone plays Cryptic Command, they printed a textless Cryptic Command.
Which was a mistake.
And people went, that's dumb. But it wasn't a mistake, because if you're playing a format where Cryptic Command is legal, you know what Cryptic Command does. You just do.
Still a mistake.
And that's all of these cards, almost, are iconic enough to where if you're playing in a format like Aven Mind Sensor, if you're playing Legacy and someone plays Aven Mind Sensor, you go, oh, and you do it. Like, what is that? Aven Mind Sensor. Oh. And it doesn't matter if you can tell what it is at a glance because it's Aven Mind Sensor, and in your brain, you already know what that does. And
yeah, but I've also had multiple years of seeing Aven Mind Sensor look a certain way.
And if you're playing this format and you're new to it, and you go, what does that do? If you're new to it, you're going to ask, what does that do if it's the regular card or if it's the invocation? So my argument is, everyone that's nitpicking all these little things and saying, well, it's harder to blah, da, 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 those, while they may be true, all of them are true, it is harder to see all of these things, but they don't matter, because you either know what the card does or you don't, realistically speaking. Am I right?
I'm pondering that statement.
I think if they were just doing the iconic cards like in these 25, then yeah, they could honestly print them textless and you could ask and look them up if you had to. Having the text here is great. The fact that there are cards that are new to the set that we haven't gotten to makes me a little more hesitant on that. Now, but again, you're going to have to learn those as you play.
That is also a problem. But again, you have to learn those cards regardless, like you just said.
The text is not a funny font, and that's what I care about. I can see the power and toughness. I can read the text. I get it. That part's fine. I do think that they went for something aesthetic. It's similar to when, and because these are super limited, you're not going to see them all the time. It's going to be similar to the San Diego Comic-Con walkers, which were nearly impossible to read anything on, but they were cool looking, and that's why they exist. And the examples that you pulled, Clues, the one thing that I think is more appropriate for comparing these two, honestly, we would be looking at the Future Sight card frames, but imagining them without the abundant color feature.
Well, I was going to say the Future Sight card frames are a good example of design changes that attempted to make things more readable.
Well, the Future Sight card frames moved a lot of the elements around. They put the mana cost on the left. They introduced little symbols in the upper corner that were never used again. And they mix things up a lot with the overall look of it. It doesn't really look as much like a Magic card, but to credit, you could still see what it does as a Magic player. In the case of these, I don't think they look like Magic cards, but I'm not as bothered by it now that I've had time to think about it because they're so rare. If this were done for every card in this set, I would have a big issue with it.
Now, that brings up a point I was about to make, is that I despise the Future Sight frames because they were the normal cards in the set and you had to have them. Like, you know, that's, I honestly believe that's why Tarmogoyf was such a sleeper, is because it's ugly. Like, and had the Future Sight cards just been like a side thing as part of Future Sight, I don't think they would have bothered me so much because it's limited. And that's what this is. It's limited edition. It's very rare. Now, the one thing I do agree with, that the other thing that I've heard is, it doesn't look like a Magic card, to which I reply, shut up. The other thing is that the art is smaller.
That is a valid complaint, though.
That is a valid statement. It's a lame complaint.
I disagree.
Because it's a super special limited edition thing. It's so flavorful. Like, I can taste these cards from here. They're so flavorful.
Yeah, but I think you could have, if you refined this design some, still make it look unique and Egyptian and in theme and flavorful without making it look quite so jarring compared to a regular Magic card.
Eh. Ultimately, this is the design Wizards went with, so ultimately they don't do that sort of thing. This isn't Magic Online. They don't do this sort of thing just, oh, it's fine, go with it. Like, they must have decided this was the best they were gonna do, and while it may or may not have been the best they could have possibly done, I think it's fine.
I would wager from the design standpoint that when they were putting together this frame, they asked for something that was really out there, something that was really close to the normal frame, and something in the middle. And these were the really out there. But when they saw them, they decided, you know what? This is really out there, but let's see how far we can push this. And this is the set where they try it.
Yeah.
And mind you, all the feedback that they're getting right now of people not liking it is going to temper that in the future in all likelihood.
And there's also a good chance, and I think Chewy did bring it up, or maybe Squee brought it, one of you two brought it up. These may look a lot better in person than they do in these images. And so, I freely admit that.
I think it was Trick Jarrett, but someone posted posted an animated GIF of them actually moving the card around, and you could see it a little better in real life. And it does look a little bit nicer. And it was much easier to tell the bolded text that I think stand out. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to refrain total hate of this until I see one. But I do think that they're pushing, and now we're going to see if it pays off in time. But yeah, I think all three of us are on the same page about the fact that this is some amazing art that they squeezed into a tiny box.
Yeah. The fact that the art box, I don't think it seems smaller. I think it is.
It is smaller. There have been comparison pictures against normal Magic cards.
Good. Yeah. And since the art is so sick, it really does kind of hurt that they've squeezed them into the small box. But then.
Yeah, this art is sick.
I mean, so what? Like,
well,
this is almost certainly going to be the only time this and, I forgot the name of the Hour of Something. What is the next set?
Oh, after Amonkhet?
Hour of Something? Is that right? Or am I making that up too?
No, it's Hour of Something.
That sounds right.
Amonkhet's...
Hour of Devastation. Set.
Devastation. There we go.
I was thinking Destruction, but yeah, Devastation.
So yeah, other than the next set, this is probably going to be the last time they do something like this because the initial snap reaction was vile hatred, pitchforks and torches. So of course Wizards is going to hear that and go, whoops. So thanks a lot, all you naysayers, letting us get anything nifty again. But
we also freaked out about transform cards and then we loved them. I don't think they're going to base it on initial response. I think they'll base it on end of time response.
Let's hope so.
Can I mention one thing that I really love about these cards though?
No. I mean, yeah, please do.
That is the little hollow foil stamp in the Nicol Bolas horns.
In the Nicol Bolas horns? That is so cool.
That is awesome. I love that.
Yeah. To go back to the picture thing slightly, I think my specific issue with the image being smaller isn't just, oh no, the picture's smaller and the art's really cool. It's that nearly every one of these pictures is set on a massive scope. Like, if you look at the scale of these things, they look huge. You've got giant caverns. You've got things that look like gods dueling back and forth. You've got big monuments. You've got reflective pools with lots of birds over them. These are all huge things that should be full art just because you're looking at mountainsides and stuff. All the people in these are very tiny. And so you know they built these cards with a huge scale in mind. And then this is what they end up on. Like, I'm hoping that as things go on, more wallpapers, more play mats, more stuff like that actually show these things off in a more proper scale. Because,
oh, yeah, that would be awesome.
Like looking at Aggravated Assault with the really tiny people, or like look at Worship. The whole point of Worship is look how big this is. All these things are huge and these people are tiny, but it's still going to fit into something that's less than 2 inches. And that's, always a Magic card problem. But specifically when the scale is the focus of the art in all of these, it's kind of disappointing.
And honestly, okay, so look at any of these cards. You see how we've got the name and mana cost, and then below it is that blank space that's the underside of the archway?
Yeah, the embossing. It's all beveled and embossed.
Well, I think that's supposed to be the underside of the archway where the name and mana cost are written. But I think if that was just not there, one, no one would care that it wasn't there, and two, we'd be able to see more art.
Yeah, because they're trying to make it look like you're looking at this picture set into it.
Yeah.
Like this is an actual frame that you're looking through, not just like a border element. And that is how it looks in the printed ones. It does have a fake 3D thing going on. So that I think is going to be what, sells it on people when they physically see them. But yeah, it is eating up space. And I think that we miss that space more than we thought we would.
The artwork is epic. The scale is tiny.
It reminds me
phenomenal
of
phenomenal cosmic art. Exactly. Itty art space.
Itty art space.
It's like when you would go to movie theaters and they would be like, this movie is amazing. And then they slowly scale it down to like a little TV size to convince you to keep going to movie theaters. It's that. It deserves to be seen on the big screen. This is the IMAX experience on your phone.
It looks so real.
But yeah, so those are the expeditions. Or the equivalent to the expeditions, the invocations. Yeah,
the masterpieces.
Yes.
So
and for the record, okay, I didn't actually share this yet. So the first one of these I saw was Aven Mind Censor sent to me in Facebook Messenger without comment. It was just a picture.
Yeah.
And people send me random pictures of like altars and whatnot all the time. And my very first thought was, now what? And I looked at it and I went, all right. Like that was all right. And then he said, this is an invocation. And I looked again and I went, that's actually really cool. Like, that was my snap response.
All right. Great.
Which,
now that I'm looking at it again, the lack of spacing makes it a bird wizard.
It is, it's a bird
it's
wizard.
Not a,
yeah.
It's not a bird wizard. It's a bird wizard.
Yeah.
Well, it's a bird wizard.
It's a bird wizard.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's like bedazzling, but for birds and wizards.
That artwork on Wrath of God, it's just amazing. Look
it really
that.
Is.
Cool. Just look at that.
Yeah. That's not getting regenerated.
Nope.
Shall we talk about the other stuff in the set?
All right. Yeah. Sorry. Okay. We went pretty deep there, but, it is.
Well, to be fair, I mean, the entire freaking internet did too. So
yeah, this has been the main topic of discussion for the last week. And it's really surprising me you guys aren't calling in about this.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right?
That is weird.
Hang on. Let me go make sure that, hang on. The line's open.
Oh.
The number's not, it's not like, I guess if this was a phone, it would be, off the hook. It's not off the hook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're not connected over dial up, so we know it can ring.
Yeah. I'm totally using my normal internet. That's really weird.
Yeah.
Maybe people just really wanted to hear what we had to say, and now they're going to start calling in.
Oh, probably.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't want to repeat anything.
Space.
Yeah. Which we appreciate.
Yeah.
But now, come on, let us have it. Call in. While we wait, though, I guess we should move on.
Okay, great.
Okay, so we talked about the mechanics last week, but now the actual mechanics, or some of the mechanics. Now the actual mechanics article is up.
Yes, and I don't think there were any surprises here. I think most of the interesting stuff was covered last week.
Well, Aftermath, this is the first that official spoilers have seen of it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Tune into last week's episode for a discussion on Exert and Embalm, because we already went over that.
Yep.
Yeah, is there any new information here about these? There is not.
Don't think so.
Not that I've seen. And likewise, you already know there are -1/-1 counters, because we talked about that last week, too, when we looked at the token.
And Cycling, which every time Cycling comes back, people say, oh my god, I'm so happy Cycling's back. I don't know why they don't just make Cycling just a thing.
You would think it would be on the path to that, but I don't know. Cycling is good. You know it's good. Everyone knows it's good.
Like, I just, like, talking randomly to people, you know, what's the word, IRL, that play Magic. Like, one of the salesmen at the car dealership I drive for plays Magic. And he was like, dude, Cycling's back! And that was him hitting his desk because he was so excited.
Yeah, Cycling's in one of the five or so mechanics that could be in every set, and it would not really hurt the game.
Yeah.
Just because it's almost like a core set mechanic, not like a vanilla mechanic, but one that you want to exist in every format.
Yeah.
It turns out when this card isn't useful anymore, get another card is a, just a useful all-around ability.
Yeah, nobody likes dead cards in their hand.
But yeah, Cycling is here.
And nobody likes dead bodies in their trunk. That's why they call me. I mean, nothing.
That's why you get them out the trunk.
So, Aftermath is the other actual mechanical thing that we have. So, you guys remember split cards?
Yes, I sure do.
Yeah, several different times.
Yeah. And they were always, you know, something and something. Like, the thing that I do for patrons on my Patreon that is all the stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Mana Pool, unedited and uncensored, that is the odds and ends. And the symbol I use for that is a slightly altered version of the card odds and ends. Cause that's how you say them, odds and ends.
Yeah.
And bust.
Assault and battery.
Assault and battery. That's a word, that's words I can't say on the show. you know, those. And sometimes they have, what was it called? Meld?
Meld?
Fuse.
Fusion.
Meld
is the creature thing.
Yeah, Meld was the giant cards. So yeah, and in one set they had Fuse where you could actually cast both sides at once. Whoa.
Dun,
well,
dun,
now
we've
dun. Got, dun, dun, blah, blah, blah. So now we've got something different here. It's called Aftermath. And the, so you know how split cards, you take a magic card, right?
Yeah.
Actually take two magic cards.
Okay.
Put them side by side next to each other.
Uh-huh.
Like friends.
Like, sure. When you're in need of love, they give you care and attention. Friends will be friends. Wow, that's a Queen song I haven't thought of in like a decade.
You got there though.
I did. But anyway, if you take two magic cards, put them side by side. Now, imagine that that is a magic card on its side. like, okay, I'm not explaining this very well, but that's what split cards are. You all know what split cards are.
You yeah, turn a magic card sideways, pretend there are two magic cards side by side on it instead.
Exactly, yes. So there you go. That's just how all split cards have been always. And you could always tell, like, especially at pre-releases, when someone had a split card, because they would do the inevitable.
Tilt their head sideways. Side. Yep.
And you'd be like, they're holding a split card.
Or they'll tilt the card sideways and, it, like, look at one half and then look at the other half rather than the way you normally look.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Now, these new cards, I admit, I first looked at them, I was like, well, that's stupid because I didn't know what it did yet. But they're called, I guess they're just called Aftermath cards, but they are split cards that are different. So, for the top half of the card.
Conditional split?
Ooh, yeah, that sounds good. So for the top half of the card, it's a normal magic card just scrunched up. Think, was it the Greater Morphling from Unwhatever? Great, is that what it's called? Yeah, think Greater Morphling. It was from I don't know these sets.
Unremembered.
It's the one that was a U. I guess that's Unglued, right? No, it was Unhinged. Where the art has, and type line and everything has been scrunched up to the top because there's so much text. Well, that's what these sort of look like. Everything has been scrunched up to the top. Hang on, I lost it. Here we go. So this one is called Destined for one and a black, tiny little art box. Instant. Target creature gets +1/+0 and gains indestructible until end of turn. That's all in the top half of the card. The bottom half of the card looks like the other half of an original split card, so it's sideways.
Yeah, it looks like a tapped card.
Yeah, and this one's called Lead. Now, these are pronounced blank to blank. The old school split cards were blank and blank. This is blank to blank. So this one's called Destined to Lead. Makes sense, right?
Yep.
And Lead for 3 and a green is a sorcery, that has Aftermath. Aftermath says, cast this spell only from your graveyard, then exile it. Ah, and it says all creatures able to block target creature this turn do so. So it's a lure effect, essentially.
Yeah, the main things to note here are that because it's still a split card, it's both colors. In this case, it is black and green. And it is both an instant and a sorcery, as far as any rules we've seen so far tell us, because that's how they've always worked. So you'll probably have some fun with that while we've still got things like Delirium around and Tarmogoyfs and other formats and stuff like that. Mm. You cannot cast Lead from your hand. I know it says it on the card, but I'm going to remind you because it's going to come up. You cannot do that. The bottom half is effectively not there while this card is in your hand. It matters for one thing that we'll get to in a moment, but while you're just sitting here looking at this card in your hand at the pre-release, it's just Destined.
And that's why they have printed this thing in such a weird manner, is so when it's in your hand, you can only, like, it looks like from the top half looks like a normal magic card. And it's just one of those things to get in your head, that, hey, I can cast this part because it looks like a normal magic card. And then the other half, when it's in the graveyard, you can cast just the other half because it's laying down like it's dead.
Dead tired. So yeah. Keeping all that in mind.
It's like flashback that has a completely different effect.
Yeah, it's flashback insofar as you cast the original one or you discard it to something, and now you can go to your graveyard and do this thing. It just happens to not be the thing you did the first time. Right. Timing restrictions could change if it goes instant sorcery. The effect could change. The colors can change. It's just another card that's in your graveyard. But the Destined part is no longer there for most purposes.
Now, clues.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to issue a quick hypothetical situation and let me know what happens.
Okay.
Okay. I have...
Banned by the DCI.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Well, good night, everybody. So I have Destined to Lead in my hand.
Yep, there it is.
And I attack with some dudes and I cast Destined.
Yes.
So Destined costs 2.
One or black.
So someone goes, Spell Pierce. Is Destined countered?
Yes.
Because Spell Pierce is the one that counters. What does Spell Pierce do again? Hang on.
It should have
Spell Pierce, counter target non-creature spell unless its controller pays 2.
So okay, so let's say I'm tapped out to cast Destined.
Great.
Okay, yeah. And
it is countered. When the split card is on the stack, It only has the characteristics of the piece that's being cast.
Now, if I play Destined and someone has a card in hand that says counter target, I don't know, red or green spell, it will not work.
That's correct.
Because the Destined half, the half you're casting, the only half that currently exists while it's on the stack.
Yep.
Is not red or green.
In fact, if they have something that says counter target red or green spell, they do not have a valid target for that. So they cannot exactly. do that.
Which also means it doesn't go to the graveyard because they can't cast it.
That's right. It goes back
to their hand and they feel dumb.
And we tell them, yeah. No.
Bad player.
That's true.
Now, let's say I am sitting here with Destined to Lead in my hand.
Yes.
And my opponent casts, oh, I don't know, what's that favorite spell with the art that you love to death? With the art that gets you every time?
Oh, no, I don't know what you're talking about. I have no recollection whatsoever.
Well, I legitimately can't remember the name of the damn spell. I can just see the art. Seriously, what's it called?
I assume you're talking about Transgress the Mind.
That's the one.
I wanted to make Clues think about it.
No. Okay. I've thought about it. I know its name. I'm not going to go look up its rules text.
Yeah, so discard something.
Yeah, well, it says choose a card. Okay, target player reveals his or her hand. You choose a card from it with converted mana cost 3 or greater and exile that card. Now, if I'm holding Destined to Lead.
Yes.
And they say, get rid of that. Yes. Is that fine?
It had to be 3 or greater.
Yes.
The answer to your question is yes, it's fine. It used to be fine for one reason, but apparently in the future, it's going to be fine for a different reason.
Right.
So with split cards, it used to be that anytime a question was asked.
Now, when you say used to be, you also mean currently is.
Currently is.
Until the release of this set and the rules update.
There is a rules update coming, and we have at least a small preview of what this change is going to be. But currently, if you ask a question about a split card that is not on the stack, so in a graveyard, in a hand, in a deck, as long as it's not on the stack, it would return two answers. If you say, hey, what color are you? Destined to Lead would say, I'm black, I'm green. If you say, what is your mana cost? Destined to Lead would say, my CMC is 2, my CMC is 4. And as long as you satisfied your criteria with one of those answers, everything was okay. However, there is a change coming, and here's what we've heard. It will be in the future that as far as CMC is concerned, don't know about the rest of it because that's a little unclear, but I'm pretty sure the rest of it's still going to operate the same way. But as far as CMC is concerned, anytime the card is not on the stack, the CMC will be the total CMC of the card. So take the two halves, add the number together. That's the CMC. So in the case of Destined to Lead, if Destined is on the stack, CMC is 2. If Lead is on the stack, CMC is 4. If Destined to Lead is anywhere else, CMC is 6. So see what we did there?
And this always threw me because Dark Confidant, as far as these split cards go, has always worked that way.
Yes.
Like if you flip up a Destined to Lead with Dark Confidant back in the day, you would still take 6.
Right.
But that's because it's giving, Bob deals you damage equal to all of the converted mana costs. So, or you lose life, whichever.
Bob is a harsh, I was going to say mistress, but that seems weird.
It does.
Considering he's a real person.
He's a huge refrigerator of a man.
He's a nice guy too, let me tell you.
But, yeah, and that, so it's always thrown me that split cards work in this either or manner, except when it comes to things like that. Like if you flip one up with Erratic Explosion, you're dealing the total damage. But if you're trying to put one on an Isochron Scepter, you can put, as long as one of the halves works, then you can use Isochron Scepter for both of the halves.
Which seemed
and
weird.
That has always just been bizarre.
Yeah, this is one of those rule updates that actually makes things more consistent, more easy to understand, and really should have been done even before we had to with this.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
it
everyone
also apparently is killing a deck that our silent Monday Night Magic host Will Blanks he hates it. Like he sent me the link to this rules update earlier, and he said I'm pretty mad about it, but just because it kills the deck I was building for Modern.
Okay.
Like, well, damn. So yeah, if let's say here's his example. Let's say you have a counterbalance in play.
No.
Let's say not Clues has a counterbalance in play.
Okay.
Yeah, let's say someone else has it. Sure. And you flip breaking and entering. So breaking costs 2, entering costs 6 on breaking and entering. And it has fuse. So before counterbalance, or right now, and up until the set comes out, counterbalance would counter anything that costs 2 and anything that costs 6 with this one card. Now, after this rules update, it will only counter things that cost 8 if you flip up a breaking and entering with counterbalance.
So now it's better at stopping Grizzlebrand and worse at everything else.
Yeah. So, dear listeners, I know this is a little confusing and a little meandering because we're talking about the way things were and the way things are. So call in if you have any questions, if you need us to specify or clarify anything.
Yeah, again,
let me check this.
Numbers in the show notes. Again.
Right. Maybe they came in late and didn't hear that. Number is down in the show notes. By all means, call in. It's working. It's not busy. I don't understand. We have lots of listeners, right?
We do. Well, wait a minute. I don't actually look at the numbers now that I think about it. Do we have lots of listeners?
I mean,
enough people message you when you're not here, so.
Oh, that's a good point.
That is also true.
Yeah. So
according to the Twitter index, we're pretty busy.
We demonstrably have at least some listeners.
Yeah.
All right. So hopefully that clears up, maybe sort of kind of clears up, some of the new, how the split cards. I actually kind of like these new split cards. I like this conditional from the graveyard effect that it does. I think it's pretty cool.
I'm actually hoping that someone eventually makes a sarcastic card that actually does have the same thing on both sides. And it's just called Ashes to Ashes.
Already a card named Ashes.
Yeah, I know. But it would be funny because each half would be called Ashes. But like we have all new naming schemes to make fun of because we used to make fun of the schemes and the old split cards and the sort of blank and blank. And now we have a new one to play with. So that'll be neat.
Yay.
Have fun with your made up cards.
Woo.
So outside of that, there actually are some other mechanics that are not keyworded, but that are going on in this set. If you guys want to talk about them.
Well, they're not exactly mechanics. It's
recurring themes and cycles, but yeah.
Yeah, so apparently there are enchantments in the set called Trials.
Yes.
And because, you know, you're dealing with gods, so of course you're going to have Trials, because that's what they do.
Yeah, they're bored otherwise. Like,
the example here is Trial of Knowledge for 3 and a blue. When Trial of Knowledge enters the battlefield, draw 3 cards, then discard a card. For 4 mana, that's not bad.
No, that's...
Draw 3, discard 1? Yeah, it seems
that's
good.
That's better than draw 2.
And then... When a, is this Cartouche?
It is Cartouche, yes.
Okay, when a Cartouche enters the battlefield under your control, return Trial of Knowledge to its owner's hand. Now, your question is, the hell is a Cartouche? Well, Cartouche is a new, subtype for enchantments. Actually, it's a subtype for aura, a new subtype that goes with auras. So the example is Cartouche of Solidarity, which is an enchantment aura Cartouche. And what it does doesn't really matter. It's for a single white enchant creature you control. When it enters the battlefield, you create a 1/1 white warrior creature token with vigilance, and your enchanted creature gets +1/+1 and has first strike.
Yeah. That text doesn't matter for this purpose, but.
Yeah. So it's a creature buff that brings a friend, whatever, whatever. But when you play it, you bounce a trial or. Okay. This is the only trial we've seen, but you would bounce Trial of Knowledge to your hand. Because Trial of Knowledge says to. So it's just another little mechanical thing, sort of like servos or whatever. Like there's not a special mechanic that goes with it, but this is a thing you'll see in the set.
Yeah. This is kind of like the Guildgates and other nonsense, just for this kind of card.
Exactly. Yeah. But still, that's really cool that you've got enchantments that are essentially spells that you can reuse because they sit there on the battlefield and wait for something to happen. That's really neat.
Yeah. When you're casting it, remember that it is an enchantment because it's going to feel like a sorcery when you're just looking at what it does, but it's not.
It goes to the battlefield, not the graveyard, until it gets bounced or if it got countered. Look, there are exceptions, but the point is, if everything happens as normal, put it on the table, not in the graveyard.
Yeah, and theoretically, Clues, if you had like 2 Trial of Knowledge out and you played a Cartouche, they'd both come back to your hand, right?
They should both trigger.
Because they both would have the same clause on them.
Right.
So, neat.
If you've cast two Trial of Knowledge followed by a cartouche, there is a good chance you're winning.
That's a lot of cards.
Yeah.
Cool. So that's
if nothing else, you're digging like a word I can't say on this show, I guess.
Boss.
Digging like a boss.
Yep. And then there's one more mechanic type thing that came out in Mara's article.
Oh, I think I missed that one.
And that is relevant to the gods, since they're the face of the set, as you would expect.
A mechanic, you said?
Well, the way that gods are treated here is not the way they're treated on Theros. So that's actually worth discussing.
So with disdain?
Possibly. Not devotion. Devotion is gone. So in the in the article that Mark Rosewater put out today, he introduced us to Hazoret the Fervent, who is the legendary creature god, the red one, for this cycle.
Is he a hyena god? Is that what the art is?
Possibly.
Maybe a jackal?
Maybe. Well, we know that hyena is a creature type in this set from one of the cards that they showed last week.
I think he's a hyena, because I would imagine the jackal would probably be black if they're matching Egyptian mythology and themes.
Okay, that's
we'll find out as we go. But yeah, so Hazoret the Fervent, legendary creature god, like you would normally expect. First thing to note, there's no weird templating on this stuff like we had for the other gods, because it's not a god enchantment, it's just legendary creature god. So always a creature, all the time.
Oh, okay, wait a minute. Before we get angry messages, I just looked up the god art that they showed before, and we've got this guy, a snake, a crocodile, a cat, and a heron. So, okay, yeah, sorry. There isn't a hyena and a jackal. This is one or the other. Okay, there. Moving on.
Cool.
Okay.
All right. So, legendary creature god. So, first off, that means creature. Always a creature, not an enchantment. That's relevant.
I'm actually thankful for that.
Right.
Yes.
So, here are the abilities that all of them are going to have indestructible. That is stated in the description that Mara put up. So, this one is indestructible in haste. It's a 5-4 for 3 and a red. So neat. That sounds awesome. Indestructible haste 5-4. Well, the condition for this one, because they each also have a condition on them, is Hazoret the Fervent can't attack or block unless you have one or fewer cards in hand. So while the creature's there and has power of 5 and toughness of 4, it can't attack or block if you've got cards in your hand. Now, it also has another ability that lets you get rid of those cards by paying 2 and a red and discarding a card. And then Hazoret, as in this card, not you or anything else, deals 2 damage to each opponent.
Seems good in Two-Headed Giant.
I mean, seems good in red decks.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is the ability to chuck cards to deal damage and redirect it to planeswalkers. It's the ability to hurt, you know, both opponents in Two-Headed Giant. It's the ability to fill your graveyard with stuff. I mean, mind you, it costs 2 and a red to do that. But one of the funny things about it is because they're always creatures, even if they can't always attack or block, you can actually have the god drive a car. And as I was describing it to Chewie earlier, this is pretty much Jesus taking the wheel.
What is the smallest vehicle from Kaladesh?
Or is this clown car?
Because we totally need to get the biggest god to drive the smallest car.
Once we put a dragon in a car, I mean, really, this is just where it had to go next, right?
Yeah.
I just really want to see a Hazoret hop in a smuggler's copter and fly away.
Well, it's not doing it in standard.
He's like, oh no, there's too many cards in it.
Yeah.
Did you like my helicopter noise? If you liked my helicopter
noise.
That's
pretty good. So yeah, so this is the gimmick we have this time around. It's stated that the gods are always creatures. They always have a canter attack or block unless a certain condition is met. And they all have abilities that are supposed to enable that condition. So there are going to be 5 of them. Presumably just based on the style of this one, they're probably each going to be one for each of the colors, matches the theme of the set. And as a bonus neatness to tie them into this set, each of the 5 of them will appear in the remaining 5 slots for the invocation cards. So you'll also get each of the 5 of these in there. And they do have different art when they appear in that as well. So
yeah.
So, hey, this is the red one. We'll get to see what the other 4 do. I think this is actually a step up over the Theros ones, because the Theros ones, while flavorfully awesome for pushing you toward devotion, were very limiting in your ability to actually deck build with them. We got mono blue and mono black decks, and occasionally we saw some mono other color decks, but these ones you can actually just put in a deck. And, like, if red's plan is going well, it's probably going to run out of cards one way or another, at which point it gets a 4-5 indestructible creature.
5-4 in a circle.
5-4, yes, which is great. And even if you just, you know, cast it on turn 4 and you don't have that condition yet, you can still use the other ability. It doesn't have to be a creature to let you discard a card and deal 2 damage. So.
Well, it doesn't have to be able to attack or block to let
right,
you
use. Yes.
It's correct. Still a creature. Always a creature.
It is always a creature. Every time. You can even equip things to it. It's funnier that way.
Yeah, you're not going to attack or block? Here, hold this stick.
Yep. I mean, as Hazoret is the source of the damage, giving Hazoret lifelink would actually do something.
I would, yeah. Hold this basilisk collar.
That'd be pretty sick.
Wait.
Yeah, it only does it to opponents. It doesn't, the death touch isn't really helpful.
Yeah. So that's neat. You'll probably see some of these around. Hopefully the other 4 will be neat. I like this one for red. I don't know how constructed crazy it's going to be, but it's going to depend on red's ability to throw burn or other spells very, very quickly. But just be aware that if you are in the middle of the attack and you draw a card for some reason, you've declared an attacker, so the attack's going to still go through. Likewise, once it's blocking, it's blocking. Your opponent can't be like, I tricked you, now you draw a card and it's out of combat. No. Nope. Once it's declared attacker block, it's still attacking and blocking, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. So cool. And I think that's enough of the mechanics now.
All right. Awesome.
Yeah. So just to clarify that, it can't attack or block. Unless you meet this condition, but if after it attacks or blocks, it is now attacking and like making me draw cards won't stop Hazoret the Fervent from punching you in the head.
Yeah.
Because the act of attack or block, it's already happened. Now he's attacking.
But hey, thanks for the cards.
Which is very, yeah, I appreciate you. Which is very, a very distinct difference in the rules of how combat works in Magic, so.
Yeah. So just be aware of that at your pre-release and all that, because people potentially get confused if they feel clever and it doesn't actually work the way they want it to. And if the other conditions are a little easier to mess with, then that could be something too. But we're not going to speculate on that because they could be anything.
So Hazoret also has a super sweet invocation card here next to it. We forgot to mention completely the vertical power and toughness as opposed to the horizontal power and toughness.
Yeah.
True.
Which seems a little odd given all that empty space there. But I guess they were like, well, we changed everything else. Let's change that too. That's one of the little things about this. The small art and the vertical power and toughness. I'm like, okay.
The vertical power and toughness is going to probably mess with me when I see it on the other side. Because Consecrated Sphinx is going to have a power of 9 and a toughness of upside down 4 when I see it on the other side of the battlefield. But again, you know what it does. You can always ask. You should always ask if you're not.
You should always ask, yes.
Because, you know, you see a Containment Priest and it looks like it's a 55. You should make sure.
I was thinking more like with Hazoret here, you'll look over and think, oh, 4-5, because that's how your brain parses it.
I mean, that's how I screw this up normally anyway. Because when they're left and right, it's the same problem. So just ask. You'll be happier. Whenever you see these, it'll be rare enough until you've seen them a lot. Just ask. You'll be happier. Because remember, any of these cards can show up in limited, and they're allowed. Also, I'm sorry. Because Worship shows up, you're probably screwed.
Oh my god. I also just remembered the main complaint I'm going to have with these cards for forever.
Yeah.
The auto card.
Yeah.
On the website for the expeditions and for the inventions. Oh. Those have been the ones that show up.
Yeah.
These are going to be the ones that show up for these cards forever.
Until they get printed in something else.
Oh, that really sucks.
Yeah. Had not thought of that.
At least they'll jump out at us. So we'll be like, oh.
But yeah, just be aware if you are playing in the pre-release and your opponent plays Worship, you probably lost.
Unless you're packing some enchantment removal in the main.
Yeah, you're probably lost. Hope so.
Or you just kill all their creatures, because Worship only works if they have creatures.
Wrath of God.
But it's limited.
Oh.
They're running like 15 creatures.
Yeah, so you kill them all. This is not hard.
They stop attacking with all of them. You're in trouble.
Did you attack with yours until... Oh, yeah.
That's why Worship is a miserable card to play against.
It really is.
If you're red-black, you've probably lost.
Now, if you're red-black, you could probably kill off all their creatures in for just long enough to...
Just keep drawing that removal. Get there. Yeah. So, yeah, good luck.
But again, that's so rare that...
Yeah, when it happens, and it'll be a bad beat story. But that's the price we pay for making these cards playable. Not that different from, oh, they pulled the sword of my deck and my deck. I guess I lost.
Hmm. So is that, that looks like it's it, right?
Yeah, because we're not going to go down all the cards in the card image gallery, and they haven't spoiled any planeswalkers yet, to my knowledge. So, oh, if you want to talk about the lands being neat, that's here, but that's about it.
Oh, yeah, we've got the neat lands. Dude, these are actually really sick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did you guys see the types on those lands?
I actually had not until right now. All I knew is that they were dual lands with cycling, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
But they're dual lands with cycling and the land types? Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's kind of easy to miss until you stare at it. You're like, wait, what? It's apparently just a thing we do now.
That, like, that's legitimately cool. That opens up all manner of possibilities for various decks. The fact that you can just dump them in the graveyard manually and draw a card.
Mm-hmm.
People are already, like, the day that these were revealed, the morning these were, within, like, 20 minutes of these being revealed, we got an email over at the Mana Pool asking Mike, hey, how do these work with your Loam Assault deck? Because he plays in Modern a Seismic Assault Life from the Loam deck. So, yeah. Seems good.
Yeah. Search the library for a mountain. Now pay two and draw a card. Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys remember how big of a deal it was that they put basic land types on the cycle in Battle for Zendikar?
Right.
Yeah.
And like, even though they weren't the most best cards ever, it was still a big deal that we just went for it. Well, these are probably going to be the control equivalent of that, because while they come in tapped, cycling, as noted, is really good.
It's really good.
When you get to land eight or so in your control deck, and you've got enough to win the counter war, if there even is one, now you're just drawing gas. Now, note that these are all ally colors, so we'll probably see more of them in the next set. Who knows? But these will be good. You might want to hang on to them. They'll be relevant in other formats.
I wouldn't count on seeing a full set of 10 and necessarily.
Maybe not immediately. Like, I don't mean the next set as in, like, our devastation. I mean that these all have generic names. We could very well see the alternates of these in future sets, just because they're clearly designed for the ability to reprint them and not be set-specific.
Yes. There is one more card that we should mention that social media went nuts over the weekend. It's in green. Can you guys pick out which one it is?
Hold on. Let me go to the green. Is it Charmogoyf? Did they do that again?
No. That was Modern
Masters. Oh, no. If it's the one I think it is, I refuse to be involved in this discussion.
But wait, you should really like this.
I don't think so, no.
It's got the magic words on it.
It does, but I can't, no, I can't.
You just can't? Okay.
All right, Chewie.
So it's...
So Giant Spider is a 2-4 for 4, 3 and a green with reach. This card's really good, you guys. It's been printed so many times.
Please call in if you hate Bill.
Oh, man, there's a light. Oh, cool. No, I'm not taking that call, though. I know why you called. No, go ahead and tell them the real card.
Wait, no, that's your phone, you know.
No, it's my, they're calling me to tell me they hate me. Yeah. Well, that's accurate. Hi, Mom. So it's... No, Mom, I'll call you after the show.
It might be my mom calling to tell you she hates you. It's the Prowling Serpipard.
Serpipard. It's like a serpent for leopard.
For one green, it's a 4/3 rare that can't be countered.
Which is a good thing.
And creature spells you control can't be countered.
Also a good thing.
Damn. But the problem is its creature type is cat snake.
That's not right. That is not... There's nothing right about it. It gets half right. Cat, we're cool. Okay? Cat snake? No. Just no. What are you, Simic? Come on.
Yeah.
That leads me to a tweet that I got. If I can find the damn thing. That said, here it is. This is from Rachel. It says, oh my god, I figured it out. Momir Vig's spark ignited and he's out simicking up the universe. And there were two pictures, one of which is the Prowling Serpipard cat snake. The other is the Scrounging Bandar cat monkey.
So I would really like that storyline.
That would be a cool story.
Like, not even a real set, just like every plane you go to, you find a cat something. And it's part of, like, a 5-year campaign of Momir Vig just going around messing with stuff. And it's never important enough to stop, you know, fighting the Phyrexians and all that stuff over. But you just get these moments where, like, Jace walks up and he investigates. He's like, ugh, again? Ugh. And then someday he finally gets fed up and he just actually goes and does something about it. Like, in a conspiracy set or something. Like a side quest. Like, this is one of those collectible side quests. You just have to find one in every area. But yeah, so the thing is, when I first saw this card, I didn't render the art properly in my head. So, like, in the picture, you've got a tree and there's, like a tiger sort of prowling on it, but it's got both the arms and legs and a tail, but also just, like, a weird snake upper torso. It's just weird. But the way that I saw it, because of the way that its back legs were at the top of it, I had assumed that this was actually, like, a person being eaten halfway down. Because it looks like a head and arms and hands and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see.
And because it's a snake, I'm like, oh god, this is hideous.
Oh, well, that was the correct reaction.
And then I figured out what it was, and now I'm just like, well, that's just weird. But yeah, it really, I thought that it was just a person in the process of being swallowed alive, but with like the cat tail sticking off the top where the head is. I'm like, that's just weird. But no, it's just a weird snake cat instead. But hey, this card's really good, and you'll probably see it. Like, and you know, the sideboards of decks in the future.
Almost certainly.
Because one green for a 4/3 is viable even if the countering clause doesn't come up that game. Like, that's, you know, appropriately aggressive for one green. I mean, it's, you know, on par with what you would expect, I guess, in constructed, but it's a good enough base that you can run it, and even if they don't get to counter anything because they don't draw it, you're still putting pressure on. So cool.
Yeah. That's pretty much it for these and the god. That's, we don't do lots of, new card discussion here. So
that's more of a mana pool thing.
Yeah.
That is more of a mana pool thing. Manic pool. Blah, 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 I'll be.
Manomina pool.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've got one of those. The mana pool. Da, 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 da.
I love how it ends.
Oh, have we already gone to the sign off stuff? Because you just keep saying mana pool over and over and over again.
Sorry, my bad.
Manomina pool. I was
singing a little song. Do we have anything else in Amonkhet to talk about at the moment?
There's a trailer, but we don't really need to tell you what happens in the video. Just click and watch.
Yeah, it's short. It's pretty good.
Oh, good. That would be a spoiler. I haven't watched the video.
Yeah. Oh, it's short. Whoops. It's pretty good.
Word.
You can go check that out. I can jump into the Magic Online stuff pretty quickly.
Oh yeah. Hey, listeners, while he's doing Magic Online, call in, let us know, what you think of, the gods? I almost said the new gods, but that's Jack Kirby.
God, yeah. There's just the one.
Well, I mean, we know that they're all gonna.
Yeah, we do know some features of the other gods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I already sort of like the design decision to make them always creatures.
Oh, I love that.
Way better.
It's so much cleaner. And with vehicles around, you actually have something to do with them. Like, I hated playing a god on an empty board before because it's like, oh, this does nothing. This does.
Well, I mean, they did stuff.
They had abilities, but like, you know, this is never going to turn into a creature. And you feel the lack of creature pretty hard. These ones will be there and be able to activate for things. You'll be able to, you know, tap them for Convoke and those kinds of decks. Like, they can do other things that, you know, creatures you wouldn't normally attack and block with can do. You can even put an enchantment on it and let it tap for mana if you really feel like it. I mean, these are things that can happen. Give it a longbow. It'll be funny. All these things and more are possible. So,
yeah.
Magic Online news isn't going to take very long, so I'll just jump in. Magic Online news is usually posted on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We do the real stuff on Monday. As in, like, what we're doing right now. So, we're not really going to have most of the relevant news going on here, but I will tell you what happened last week. So, they posted the Magic Online announcements March 28th, last Tuesday. Most of the news in here is talking about the fact that Modern Masters 2017 is still going on. They announced that the Throwback Standard Gauntlet, which was supposed to be a little bit ago, following the Mirage Tempest Standard, is coming back this week on April 5th. So I've thrown in a link to that here in the show notes if you want to look over.
Dude, we're getting.
Is your ringtone really? Duck Jesus?
Yeah, hang on. Hello, you are on Mana Pool 555, the call-in spectacular. Hello? Say something. Anybody?
Are they trying to sell you something?
Well, apparently that was the wrong number.
Oh, that's too bad.
Did the beep, beep, beep of the hang-up come through? The microphone, did you guys hear that?
No.
Oh, never mind.
No, well, noise cancellation's awesome.
I don't have that.
Oh, well, then you should probably check your phone.
I guess it just wasn't loud enough. Yeah.
I mean, also, you
okay, keep going, Bill. Sorry.
You can't, because it records your system differently. So who knows? But yeah, so they're going to, you know, continue with the throwback standard gauntlet for a week. It'll be here from the 5th to the 12th. Modern Masters 2017 is likewise here through April 12th. So I've got links for both of those in the notes. There's really not a lot else going on. Like I said, there's just a bunch of news about events that have already happened. There was no downtown last week, so they didn't really make any other new changes. And past that, yeah, just have fun clicking on the link to the calendar to see what events are coming up. I'm not sure what they're doing with the throwback gauntlets yet, but the fact that they've added the subtitle 20 years of standard to it makes me think that they may be planning for the rest of the year to make this a regular thing, similar to last year when they were doing, you know, the year of modern. They may just be giving us, you know, 20 standards worth of big events, in which case we'll have a bit to talk about, because those decks are a little more fun to talk about than draft archetypes if we remember what those decks were like. I can only really go back about as far as Time Spiral. Chewy might know a little bit more. Either way, we can look at it and discuss them, so this section might flesh out a bit, if in fact that's what they're doing and the name's not a misnomer. So that said, I think that's about all that's relevant on Magic Online. You can check out the more relevant updates this week by going to the Wizards website and go to Products, Magic Online, in the top, and on Tuesday they'll post more news. So, all right.
This also says First Gauntlet, 1997 to 98, a.k.a. Mirage Tempest Standard. So this is totally a thing that they're planning to do multiple times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether or not that's sure just going to be the exactly regular thing, or this is just the first one, and however often they do these remains to be seen, because they'll probably take breaks whenever new sets come out. And the way the modern Magic design works, there will probably be a new set every 3 weeks. So got to keep those previews flowing. But we'll get there.
Yeah.
So now that that's over, do we want to tear open a pack and see how much money I lose?
Ooh,
oh,
yeah.
I forgot nothing happened on Magic
MTG
Online,
stocks
really.
Here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so this pack has an angel on it, so that's a good sign, right?
Yeah. Angels are awesome.
I mean, heroes never die.
Yeah, that's true. Something about Valkyrie, but it works. All right. Tearing it open. I'll get through the comments pretty quickly because, as established, there's only like one of them that's relevant. So...
I've got tokens on.
Yeah.
The tokens are better than the commons.
That's
there are.
Not surprising.
Yeah, there's one.
All right, so Gruul Guildgate, no. Mistraven, awesome, but no. Augur Spree, definitely no. Deputy of Acquittals, yeah, Flash. Night Terrors, nah. Revive, definitely nah. Pitkeeper, remember that guy?
Pitkeeper. Is he the guy? No, I don't.
When he enters the battlefield, if you have four more creature cards in your graveyard, you may return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand. He's the cheaper gravedigger that's picky.
Oh, okay. Now that I'm looking at the, art, I do remember.
He's
that.
Not amazing, but there you go.
No.
A sensor splicer. Sploisa. So, no. A Kraken Hatchling, definitely no.
But he's so good and limited.
Oh, he blocks a lot. Mog, Flunkies, Corset Extraordinaire. Yeah, all right, now we're on to the uncommons. Well, that was a fun journey through the commons.
Yeah, that was pointless. I mean, awesome.
To the uncommons. Right,
so,
there are a couple in
there. How do you feel about Goblin Shaman?
I'm a big fan.
How do you feel
it's
about
got Goblin in it, so...
Goblin Shaman Uncommon. It is a Tattermund Witch.
Oh.
It's from Shadowmoor.
Wow, that is basically where...
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, it is.
How about some compulsive research?
That is even more
that
worthless.
That is more worthless, yeah.
Bad blue cards. How about Harmonize, which is the bluest green card?
Harmonize is 50 cents, so we'll give you that one.
Hooray.
Yeah.
It was 49 cents, but you will round up. Just
so you guys remember when I said there was an angel on the cover of the back?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that angel's in the pack. It's Stoic Angel.
Huh.
Ooh. That's another 50
cents. That will net you another 50 cents.
Yeah, I got to a dollar. This is amazing.
Awesome. Sick.
Now I know what you're thinking.
Yes.
Well, it's gotta fix it, right?
Nope.
Nope. Although it might be something. It's the Golgari Signet. In foil.
All right, in foil. Hang on, hang on. Turn that off, turn this on. It is, actually, yeah, that's like, at the moment it's like 139. We'll give you a buck and a half on that.
Sweet. So in.
Wow, did you get to 250?
Got 250. All right, and then
token?
The token is the angel token.
That is 20 cents, sorry.
All right, so in total for all this nonsense, I'm going to call it $3, assuming that these commons are worth like a nickel.
Yeah, let's call it about $3, sure.
Okay.
Sure, why not?
All right, so that means that...
You're struggling, so we'll round up a little bit.
Well, thank you for being so generous. So after three packs, I am down to a negative $33. This last pack's going to get there, right?
Oh, yeah. Next week?
Totally.
Nothing but... True. No.
Nothing but Goyf Foil Goyf? Sure. I mean, there's got to be more Snapcaster mages, right?
Sure.
Yeah, so as a reminder to everyone listening at home, the point of this exercise is to show how ridiculous buying packs of something are when the packs are $10.
With a comically small sample size.
Yes, a comically small sample size. So you might be telling yourself, oh, look at all these amazing cards I could open. You're spending $10 on that lottery ticket, buddy. If this were a $4 pack, I would have still lost money. So, hooray, magic, gambling.
But for what it's worth,
the one pack remaining has Grizzlebrand on it.
Oh, well.
So
she should have done that in the first place.
No, you have to save that one for last because I can only spend 7 life so many times.
Yeah.
But that'll be next week. Wrong.
So you have to come back for that and see if I break negative $30.
You see, he has to cast Grizzlebrand and use its ability immediately before people catch that it's actually not legal in the format. That's why he won't get a chance to swing with it and get his 7 back. You see,
yeah, that's right. Important. Cash in. All right. Yeah. So is that everything? Should we sign out?
Yeah, it sounds like it's everything.
Yeah. Okay. You can find me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinToBob. There's no I in Goblin because it's hiding somewhere in that card frame. I don't know. It's really small art.
I bet it's one of the hieroglyphics.
Oh, it could be. Yeah. Actually, if you don't understand what it says due to the font, it's a bunch of eyes. And they're all staring at you. This is like magic cards with googly eyes, but in hieroglyphic wingding font. So be aware. That's what all of them mean. So, but yeah, you can find me on Twitter. I'll probably be rambling a little bit more on, you know, the set as we see a little bit about it. Cause like, I won't talk about cards here, but as I see them on there, sometimes I might comment. Other than that, you might catch me commenting on, you know, whatever else is going on at the moment. So it's fun. Follow me. It'll be neat. Past that, I did survive going to South Carolina against all odds. It was actually more challenging than normal because I was in South Carolina during a time when they were doing well in basketball. So there were a lot of people out everywhere you go to eat because the NCAA tournament was going on over the weekend and they were in the Final Four. So they were very excited. I will note that South Carolina itself, much cheaper gas than North Carolina. I'll give it credit for that. That's actually about all I got for South Carolina. It tried. No, actually, I had fun there. It was neat. I got to send Chewy and Clues a picture of South of the Border at night while I was driving back because I've commented on South of the Border on other podcasts, and this one once, I think. It's a ridiculous place. I'm not going to tell you to check it out, but if you're driving on 95, you'll see a million signs of varying degrees of racial stereotypes telling you you should. I love that they've updated the signs, but they're still very tasteless. Good job, guys. Now they've got web addresses on them. But yeah, that is the Highway 95 tourist trap going north and south in South and North Carolina, respectively. So be aware of that nonsense. They will sell you fireworks and have a giant light up sombrero.
In that order.
And other than that, yep, still having fun with Mass Effect. Still looks funny, but I'm enjoying it, so whoop-de-doo. I will now pass things over to Clues.
Okay, so just one thing real quick here before I begin my sign-off.
Holy crap, we have a call.
Oh, good, good. Who is it?
All right, better late than never. Hang
is
on a minute.
Steve? Is he calling from the bus?
Hello, you are on Monday Night Magic 555, the call-in spectacular. What can we do for you?
Well, I need to start my sign off. I just wanted to make sure that this number was working. So, You can hear me, right?
If you can tell us to pause the call while we test this.
I assumed Chewy wanted to edit because he's good at this.
Yeah, he's not going
to edit. I'm hanging up now, Clues.
Okay. All right, so hey!
Although, that does mean that the number's working, yeah. Just because we got one wrong number and one for Clues.
I went and I checked it in the show notes and everything. That's the one that I dialed, and it worked perfectly. So I don't, maybe our listeners don't have phones?
That, you know, let's go with that.
It's a working hypothesis, I guess.
Oh, maybe it's one of those things where you can't listen to a podcast and make a phone call at the same time, and they don't want to miss
it. It's possible that it would mute out the audio when they make a call. Yeah, that's pretty common.
Could be.
Yeah.
Smartphones are only so smart.
Hey, if you want to hear more from me, you can do that on the, you okay over there? It sounded like.
I was angrily throwing my phone.
I thought it was a reaction to
calls you?
Hearing any more from me. No, screw it, Clues. We're done. if you want to hear more from me, you can find me on the Random Discard podcast found right here on the MTG Cast Network. We just had a new episode, just went up. We talk about D&D. That's kind of cool. There may be a brief pause as Rich and his wife are expecting this week, like actually this week, like
expecting what?
A baby. They're having kids.
Like is this new? Did he just find out?
He just found out last Wednesday. No, he's known for a while. Listeners to our show know that. I believe he's having twins, so it's going to be two kids. Which
sick?
Yeah, that's. Oof, I do not envy Rich over the next coming weeks as he learns how to cope with not sleeping ever. So we'll see how that goes. But you know, I wish him well. Everyone, hit up Mind Mage on the Twitter. Tell him good luck, Godspeed, all that.
The I is a one and the A is a four.
I don't know that the I is a one. I don't know. It's in the show notes for Random Discard. So go.
Are you guys looking at the masterpieces again?
Oh, that's cold.
Oh, that was nice work there, Squee. If you want to find me,
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. The I is an I.
Yeah.
Unlike Squee.
The A is a four.
The A is a four. Yeah.
Your best bet, though, is to find me on the Twitters. I am at LockLuzet, spelled just like it is in ye olde show notes. I feel like I had something else I was going to stick in the sign-off, but now it completely slips my mind.
It involve a sky check.
Well, I'm told that the sky is still there, but I can't verify it. There seems to be something between me and the sky, and it's kind of gray, and it's leaking something.
Is it called a ceiling?
My ceiling's not leaking. It's outside that's covered with water. It's really strange.
Oh, that is eerie.
And the water is
dude,
liquid.
That was happening here earlier too.
This may be an epidemic. Listen, listeners, if it's happening near you, could you call in right now and let us know?
Please?
Ah, well.
Just us.
Huh. Did you say justice?
Just us. Not to be confused with injustice, which you're going to talk about.
Oh, don't forget to file your taxes, folks. You've only got a couple of weeks left. This is important. Don't put it off.
That's a line from my comic book, I think. Like, did he say justice? Like, no. Just us. Oh, it's from Planetary. Oh, okay, that's why. I just reread Planetary a couple weeks ago.
Oh, I know what I was going to mention.
There it is.
Destiny. They've revamped the raids. They revamped Crota for us last week. I don't know what next week is. There are some rumors that it might be Vault of Glass. I'm hoping it is because I need my Fatebringer. So all you Guardians who have come back, welcome back for one last hurrah before Destiny 2 next fall. Yes, I have pre-ordered. Yes, I feel a little dirty about that, but I really wanted access to the beta because, you know, how I started the original Destiny is I got access to the beta. That happened in a random drawing.
Oh, wait. Pre-ordering gets you access to the beta?
Pre-ordering gets you access to the beta.
Okay. That's a thing that's worth pre-ordering.
Yeah, but I didn't go for, like, the crazy special edition one that's, like, $250 because that's crazy.
That is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I am opposed to pre-ordering video games at all, but access to the beta is a completely different
animal. Yeah, I couldn't pass it
up. But like, hey, if you pre-order this game, which means give us money right now for something that you don't know if it's good or not, and you'll get, you know, this pre-order bonus exclusive crap,
yeah.
Then I despise
Hey,
that
have you seen
part
the trailer
the
for Destiny 2 yet?
I saw something that looked like a comedy trailer. Is that the actual trailer?
It is kind of a comedy trailer. It had a lot of Nathan Fillion in it.
It was two factions, and one was like, meh, and the other one was very serious.
Kind of?
Okay, well, doesn't matter.
Anyway.
That might have been the Warcraft movie.
That's what I was going to say. Destiny.
Oh, yeah, that's probably what it was.
There you go. Take it away, Chewie. No, take it away!
Who, me? But I want you to have this cat snake.
No, I certainly do not want the cat snake. That is a waste of a good cat.
Nobody wants a damn cat snake. So yeah, for me, if you want to follow me on Twitter, that is at the Manapool. Basically anywhere you want to find me on the internet, it's the Manapool. Facebook.com, Twitter, Patreon, YouTube, I think even the Steam group for the Manapool is
Smoke Signals.
The Manapool. Smoke Signals for the Manapool, yeah. Not with Morse code, because I couldn't get that many letters for just me. So we are actually TMP573. Don't ask. Anyway. Speaking of YouTube, over on the YouTube channel, I have been busy this week. So I have a program that I use to stay clocked when I'm working on Manapool Productions stuff, including, you know, the podcasts, recording videos, editing videos, live streaming, all that. I did 54 hours last week, along with one full day of driving and two or three, I forget, partial days of driving. So I was exhausted. I actually took Sunday off. You guys believe that? I took a full day off. I did no work on Sunday.
You know, sometimes you need a day just for you to recharge, and good for you for taking care of yourself. Other people could learn from this example.
I went to see the parents, like me, I went to see the parents and ate a steak that was roughly a third of a cow. Good Lord. Anyway, but over on the YouTube channel, this is why I've been so busy. I started up the, heroic, adventures in Black Rock Mountain, the Black Rock Mountain adventure in Hearthstone. Again, that's a thing that I was doing way back in the early days of the YouTube channel. And then I just sort of fell off. Well, I've picked it back up and I posted the first two of that. I did more Rogue Legacy. I did more Guts and Glory. Such a stupid, awesome game. And I started a new series on the YouTube channel for Injustice, Gods Among Us, the DC Comics fighting game.
Did you say Justice?
It has a very... No, Injustice. Oh. It's got a story mode that's very, well, cinematic. Like, it's broken up into chapters. I think there are 12 chapters. And in each chapter, you control a different character from the game. Like, the first chapter, you were Batman. The second chapter, you were Green Lantern. The third one is Aquaman. And it's this really nifty fighting game that's set up in such a way to where you can have all the good guys and the bad guys all kicking the crap out of each other, and it makes sense in the story because they end up in an alternate dimension where some of the good guys have gone bad, and it's really dark. Like, in the first episode alone, there's nukes going off and totalitarian government and murdering your own family, and a little bit of domestic abuse with Joker and Harley Quinn, just, you know, because it wasn't dark enough, let's have Joker smack Harley. And that really, the first episode really sets the tone. It's dark. It's very dark. But it's enjoyable, and I really enjoy the game. I'm not a fighting game person, so if you're trying to watch me play these for strategy or skill, you're not getting any of that. But it is a lot of fun to watch the story and then talk smack to whoever I'm currently trying to beat the crap out of. Like, at one point in episode 2, which just went up for the early release people today, the patrons, is Green Lantern. So Hal Jordan is kicking the crap out of various people, and then he beats Sinestro. And then the Hal Jordan from that universe shows up, and he's like, I'm going to kick my ass. And I was like, ah!
Was it kind of Justice Lord-y?
No? Sorta? Yeah, a little bit. Cause it was like green Hal Jordan, and the Hal Jordan of this universe is a Sinestro Corps, so it's yellow. And it's like, what? And it was really dark, like I said. So yeah. I really love this game. I had it on the 360 and played the living crap out of it. And I'm continuing to do so now. It's one of the games that I actually play when I'm not working, which is not a thing usually. It's Hearthstone or Overwatch, and now I've added Injustice to that because playing through the classic battle or essentially arcade mode for other fighting games. It's very therapeutic. Yeah. Beat the crap out of things and then feel better. Ah. But anyway, that's what's going on over on the YouTube channel. Yeah. And I actually streamed Overwatch twice last week. Once with, I can't remember if Cap was with me on Tuesday. I think he was.
I think you and Cap played on Tuesday because when I showed up on Wednesday, you guys had already gotten your loot boxes.
Right. And then Bill joined me on Wednesday, and then we were also joined by Gothic and,
I think by the end of it, there were like five of us.
I think so. Cap showed up. Who's the fifth one? Now that I'm not playing Overwatch and I'm not looking at it, I have no idea who else was
in. It is also admittedly almost midnight our time. We've been rocking late.
Holy crap, it is almost midnight. Oh, and Zinchling. Right, I remember now. Anyway. So yeah, I'm not sure, for those that are listening to this before Tuesday night, I'm not sure if there will be a Tuesday night stream this week. If not, I will try real hard to stream Wednesday night. Real life and other things are gonna pop up and get in the way. Probably. So yeah. With that, I will shut up. So it's youtube.com/c/themanapool if you want to check all of that out. I have lots of things in the works. I'm trying real hard to focus on getting more videos out. I need to finish Shovel Knight. I'm very close to being done with that. Of course, then I've got the DLC, so I'm probably not almost done with that. Plague Knight. Anyway, I'm really enjoying the whole being a Let's Player for YouTube. It is entirely too much fun. It's a stupid amount of work, as you could probably tell from the number of hours that I put in last week, but it's so much fun when my brain is in the right place. So while my brain is in the right place, I'm chugging through as much of it as I can. Sick. But anyway. So, we will be done with our episode 555 call-in spectacular that was a spectacular failure. I don't understand.
I don't know. Maybe phones are just dead and people like texting. Eh, we'll find out on Twitter, I'm sure. Like, that's where they want to talk to us anyway.
Actually, it's probably that they just really like tweeting at us. That's what
I mean, it is fun.
Yeah. Huh. It's a shame that we couldn't record this 2 days ago, I guess, because this was such a failure. We could totally have made it an April Fool's episode.
Yeah, we wouldn't really do those, though.
It would have worked. Yeah, it's true.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Right then. So, with that, we will be done. As always, a big thanks to Bill and Clues for sticking with me.
Pleasure, as always.
The fighting cat snakes.
No, yeah. We are not adopting that as a mascot.
Hiss Roar.
Sadly, that might be the name of the show.
What is the catchphrase that we came up with a couple weeks ago? It's like it's something about being intentionally stupid or something. I can't remember now.
Oh, I don't remember either.
Oh, that's too bad, because that would have been
perfect. Yeah.
Like sufficiently anyway. Dumb or something. Yeah.
I don't remember. Oh, well. Call in if you... Well, it's too late. We're ending the show now, so tweet at us if you remember.
Yeah.
So this has been episode 555 of Monday Night Magic. Thank you all so very much for listening and not calling in. And go play some magic.
Rufflecopter.
That was Hazoret flying away from the end of the episode.
That's fair.